Good morning.
Good morning.
Someone came in and said it's only 2 below 0, so hey, you're on the rise, right? Yeah. Unfortunately, when it goes warmer, what happens? It snows. So, never a dull moment in God's created world. Praise be to you, God of light, for the shoot that breaks through the earth, that strains toward the sun, that blossoms and makes its fruit an offering to the world. Praise be to you, God of life, for the seed that dies and is resurrected into a tree, for the tree whose longevity whispers a parable of eternity. Praise be to you, God of life, for your presence and purpose that infuses all creation and calls us to follow, to embrace life, to share life, and to offer the fruit of our lives as we worship you. Please rise as you're able and join in the call to worship. We come with praise for the wonderful works of God.
Even before we see, God knows us completely.
The Holy One knows us and sustains us, even in our moments of confusion and doubt.
Who can count the thoughts of God? They are more than all the sands of the desert.
Like clay in the hands of the potter, we are shaped into vessels of divine will.
We come with praise to the wonderful works of God.
Our first song is Praise the Lord in the Sound of Trumpets.
Thank you.
invite you to sit back and close your eyes. Take in that first deep breath. And as you let it out, let go of the stress in your neck, your shoulders, your hands, your legs. Relax into it this time. So you can take another deep breath. And as you let this breath go, send out with it all the to-dos and the what-ifs, the fears and the wonders. So you can take that third deep breath. And as you let this breath out, become completely present here with the Lord. Let us join together in our opening prayer that is in the bulletin. Boundless Shaper of people and nations, you are beyond our knowing, yet closer to us than our every breath. You are before us, behind us, surrounding us with your love, and fashioning all of creation in the secret depths of your heart. With every thought, with every song, and with every prayer, turn this fragile earthen vessel of our lives into the spirit-filled body of Christ. Amen.
Because the snow was on Thursday and etc., this is why you don't have words today. They didn't get the bulletin, so it's hard for them to just come up with a whole new service by themselves. I don't know why. Our first Old Testament reading is from Psalm 139. Hear these words. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written that was being formed for me, before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they would outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you.
Thank you.
Exactly. God is the head of this family. And so there's this family. There's all kinds of families like this, aren't there? All different churches around the world. And God is the head of this family. And Jesus, right? And Jesus is our brother. Jesus shows us how to do things. Do you help your little sisters learn how to do things? Do you boss them around there? No. Does she boss you around? That's all right. I am the youngest. I have three older sisters. Three of them. And they boss me around. My oldest sister was just in town and she was bossing me around. And she's really old. So Jesus, who is the head of the church that we celebrate, Jesus is our example, just like you're the example for your little sisters. And so we look at Jesus and how Jesus lived his life, and that's how we're supposed to live our life. And so Jesus never bullied anybody. Jesus was always good, even when people maybe frustrated him. So we just have to remember that there's lots of people out here who can help us be examples. How about your mom and dad? Are those your examples?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah? And all of these people can be examples. Well, some of these people can be examples. And so that's what's great about family and about knowing that God and Jesus are here to help us figure out how to live our lives. And so then that makes you have to know how to live your life so that you can teach your sisters. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you for these three girls. We thank you for all of the children everywhere. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the snow to play in. We thank you for the parents who help us to figure things out. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus, who shows us how to live our lives, who helps us to understand who you are, God. Be with us all until we meet again. Amen. Thanks, guys. Anita's got a class for you. You want to go? Right over here.
wounds and our deepest hurts. You know where we have been wronged, and you know where we have wronged others. Forgive us when we have held on to hurts rather than sought healing. Forgive us when we have harmed each other. And forgive us when we have used you and your scriptures to harm rather than heal. Forgive us most of all when in the name of Jesus we have caused any kind of suffering. Lord, call us into healing and teach us how we might bring your message of hope and healing to the world. We ask you to hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken. Help us to have the strength to come to you for the healing, to move on in life. Help us to reach out to those who are lost and lonely, so they may know your grace. And most of all, Lord, help us to be the vessels you have created us to be. We ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, your greatest vessel, who brought us together and taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Declares the Lord, like
Israel. At any time I may announce that I will dig you up, pull down, and destroy a nation or kingdom. But if that nation I warn turns from its evil, then I'll relent and not carry out the harm I intended for it. At the same time I may announce that I will build and plant a nation or kingdom. But if that nation displeases me or disobeys me, then I'll relent and not carry out the good I intended for it. Now I say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I am a potter preparing a disaster for you. I'm working out a plan against you. So each one of you turn from your evil ways. Reform your ways and your actions. But they said, what's the use? We will follow our own plans and act according to our willful evil hearts. Therefore the Lord proclaims, ask among the nations, have you ever heard anything like this? Virgin Israel has done a terrible thing, most horrible thing. Did the snow on the mountain of Lebanon ever melt entirely off their rocky cliffs? Do the cool mountain streams ever dry up? Yet my people have forgotten me. They have offered sacrifices to a lie, and so they have stumbled along the way, even along the ancient paths. They have taken side roads, not the main roads. They have ruined their country and brought utter shame on it. All who pass by are shocked and shake their heads. Like a strong east wind, I will scatter them before their enemy. When disaster strikes them, I will show them my back, not my face. Yikes! I'm thinking God is displeased. Well, this morning we're going to start a little mini-series for the rest of January on creation, with God as creator. The God described in the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures is a God who is not only present to the creation, but active within it. Creation has happened, is happening right now, and will happen in the future. So we want to look at this relationship with the God who is our creator, and us as the God's creation. How do we work together? What kind of relationship is it? Where are we now with God our creator? Robert Browning wrote the words, God's in his heaven, all's right with the world. I think we can like that sentiment, right? We're all feeling okay because God's in his heavens. And you might be surprised to find out that the Judah that Jeremiah visited felt the same way. But they felt that way only to soothe themselves because things were going too smoothly for them. Too smoothly in Judah, too well, and so the people no longer worried about God, or even the need to uphold their side of the covenant with God. They weren't being faithful. People were oppressed. Justice was being denied to the weakest, and offerings were made to other gods. Yet still people expected the Lord God to protect them. It's interesting, isn't it? I love this. One author described this situation this way. Judah's Yahweh, God, is little more than a talisman set to bless their actions, which they would undertake anyway. To me, that sounds uncomfortably familiar. It seems that God's creations have forgotten that God creates and shares in this creative process. And that process begins and ends with God, not with us. If you think about it, there's a lot of things that we think, okay, well, God will bless us and we can move on. It's what I want and what I'm going to do, and so, you know, the rest of it kind of doesn't matter a whole lot. But for Judah, God was trying to get them back, and so he sent Jeremiah to preach about God's response to this situation. But first he sent him to that potter's house. And, you know, of all of the artisans, potters are a little different because they have intentions about what they're going to make. And while that, especially in this time period, while what they were making, they wanted to be beautiful, it had to be practical. A pot that could not hold water was worthless. The main focus was on utility. And the potter had to have design and an intention to do the work. But sometimes the potter had to give in and reshape. design and accepts a new way of thinking. And this is our Creator God. Not a God that dictates every moment of our lives, but God is the potter and we are the clay. God's commitments, God's passions, and God's intentions do not ever change. But God is always and forever creating possibilities for human flourishing. God is always shaping something better for the least, the last, the lost. And God's covenant is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is unchanging in intention, except when we don't work with God. See, there's two parts to God's creative work. There's the molding and the shaping of opportunities and events that God provides to help us be the people we are being shaped to be. But unlike the potter's clay, we are not passive in this process. We get to work with God for our design, to be shaped into something useful, to discover the divine purpose, and to give ourselves over to what God is shaping us to be. God is trying to create that kingdom here on earth, a reign of justice and peace, and God is willing to adapt, to rework, and to start over and to use what God has, which is us. So God's creative work has a shape in mind for us, but we have to be open to it. We have to remember that what God's steadfast love means in light of not only ancient Israel's ambivalence to God, but our own culture and our own time in history, where people aren't going to church, where surveys show this. People are spiritual, but it's private, which doesn't make it a communal act. And the Apostle Paul gives us this guidance. But who indeed are you, a human being, to argue with God? Will what is molded say to one who molds it, "Why have you made me like this?" Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one object for special use and another for ordinary use? In other words, we are being called to let God be God. Let us be the clay. God has made a promise to us all and has a purpose, and God is utterly dedicated to that end. And so we have this creative process. And you know, we talk about change, we talk about how hard change is, but the fact that change is happening all the time, God is with us all the time in this creative process. And we get to take part if we decide to do that. If we don't, then God has to remold and rework. For any of you who have ever felt as if you were in the wrong direction and God kind of steered you in a different way, it's the same thing. God is with us, but we have to be open to being part of the process. And God sends prophets along the way to help us do that. We have Jeremiah, Isaiah, Paul, Martin Luther King. This is Martin Luther King weekend. Martin Luther King was a prophet for our time to remind us that we have to work with God to be part of this process, that we cannot just sit back and hope that somebody else takes care of injustice, that somebody else takes care of oppression, that somebody else speaks up for those who cannot speak. We are reminded those are our jobs as followers of Christ Jesus, as God's children. God has made a promise and has a purpose. And God is utterly dedicated to that and to us. And the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ are clear reflections of that commitment, the commitment to beyond every obstacle. God will be God. We can be us. And together, we get to be part of God's creative work. But we have to be open. art. It doesn't lend itself well to being molded. And as a result, it is not very useful. So let us stop being rigid. Let us let God in. Let God's creative process work within us to move us where we're called to move. Let us be not the people of Israel to whom Jeremiah spoke those harsh words, but let us be the people of Duluth and go forward in God's creation. Let us pray. Creator God, we do forget at times that you are the creator, you are the potter, and we are the clay. We want to let you know what shape we want to be, which is great, but we have to be open to understanding God's design for us so we may work together in this creative process of this wondrous world. We thank you for the prophets that you send to us, Lord. Help us to listen. There are prophets today as there were prophets of old. Let us hear the words. Let us find the courage and the strength to live out those words, to stop oppression, to stop injustice, so that we may all be created into the world you mean for us to be. We ask all of this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the bringing forth of the offering.
Thank you.
marvelous creation of yours. We ask you to accept these offerings so that we may continue to grow in your knowledge, in your spirit, to help others, so that we may become the world you want to create. Amen. Please be seated. Our first announcement is we have a new keyboard.
Get to know you a little better, to find one of these sheets back there on the table, fill it out, and I'll be working through the months and rotating people. Strangely enough, the three I've received are people that are just recently attending here, so this is for everybody.
Yeah, you don't really, you know, it's nice of her to say it that way, but, you know, even if you don't want people to get to know you, do it anyway. It's your family. It's your family. So, any other announcements? Oh my gosh, you guys. We have plenty of time for everything. And the game's not until 3 o'clock. What?
3:40.
3:40?
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sakes, that's even worse. All right. Then let us rise and sing our final hymn, which is Blessed Be Your Name. It's in the Dream Hymnal. First Presbyterian downtown is a worship service. And then tomorrow, the walk is at 11, and the celebration at the deck starts at noon. So there's your LMLK events. So as you go forward into this day, remember, you are clay. God is the potter. And together, what wondrous creations are made. Amen.
Thank you.
sell the old weather.